What's up, Ortandians? This is your girl, Ortandia, and you are tuning in to another episode of House of Ortandia. How have you guys been? You know, I am sister inconsistent because I have not been on a weekly basis giving you guys my commentary, talking with you guys, releasing episodes. I have not. So if you would be so kind as to extend me your grace and forgiveness, I would greatly appreciate it. But without further ado, let's get into the topic at hand. I'm talking about protecting Black women at all costs. I watched, if you haven't watched, please go and watch the Russell Simmons documentary on HBO. It was heartbreaking. Because I was a Russell Simmons fan. Like, I just loved how he started Def Jam. I just love how he was just kind of quirky and weird. And, you know, him and Reverend Ron. And they have, like, two other brothers. One lives here in Philadelphia. He's, like, an artist. And I think they have another brother that's, like, a chef or something. I think it's four of them all together. But anyway, I just loved, like, when you remember when Ron's House was on and Russell Simmons would be on the show just antagonizing Reverend Ron. It was so funny. But, you know, he just watching that documentary, it broke my heart. You know, I felt for those women. And then you have people say, well, that's only one side of the story. Yeah, but one person saying something, okay. We can probably be like, all right, you might be twisting a little bit, sister. Two people saying the same thing, it's like, make me want to listen. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people saying it, it's like, okay, no, we have a problem here. We have a problem. And Russell Simmons had a power problem, and he had a sex problem, and a lust problem. Let me make it even more clear. He had a power problem and a lust problem. And without, you know, giving, you know, too much of the documentary away, it's just, he was a predator. He is a predator. A predator. Lord, I'm trying to say it. He is a predator. There it is. Y'all know me in words, child. But, man, he lured those women into places. And one woman, she was like an executive at the record company. So she's like, he ain't gonna do nothing like that to me. Like, I'm an executive too. You know what I'm saying? And hey, come and listen to this song. I got this new song, this demo I want you to hear. You know, it may make us, you know, we may be able to make this person a star, blah, 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 blah. So she's like, all right. And he raped her. You know what I mean? Allegedly. You know, I gotta say allegedly. He allegedly, wink, wink, raped her. You know, and just countless women. He would expose himself to women. He would grope women. He would kiss women that didn't even want to kiss. And a lot of people knew about his predatory behavior. Like Amanda Seals, people got a lot to say about Amanda Seals, but she talked about how trifling Russell Simmons was. I remember she was on The Breakfast Club and DJ Envy was in the same room with her and Russell Simmons when he said this to her. I don't know what kind of meeting they were in, but Amanda said, you know, Russell pretty much asked her to give him oral sex, like in front of everybody. And like DJ Envy, he said, yeah, I was there. And he just kind of played it. I just kind of played it off. But just like nobody checked this dude. Like nobody. It's like power. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Like nobody in that room checked him. Somebody should have had him yoked up by his neck. Like, what did you just say? I know you didn't just say that to that sister, you know, but everybody was afraid. Everybody's trying to protect their pocket. Everybody want money. Everybody want to be able to say, yo, I know Russell Simmons. Like, I'm cool with him. Like, that's that. And that's the point of this whole podcast. I'm going to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to talk about Russell Simmons. I'm also going to talk about Megan Thee Stallion. But people got to stop trying to be famous off of somebody else and really get some balls and stand up against these people, you know. And it's just, bruh, that documentary is going to make you go, what in the entire world? And it's not just him. L.A. Reid is also mentioned in this documentary. He's also a predator as well. one of the women not only accused him, so she left Def Jam because Russell Simmons allegedly raped her and went on to work for L.A. Reid. And this fool kept trying to get her to sleep with him, too. She was like, and this woman made some major hits. One of the song, Mary J. Blige and Method Man, You're All I Need, she's responsible for this song. So she ain't no Rudy Poop record executive. This lady has an ear for music. She is a beast. You understand what I'm saying? A beast. And so I can't remember her name, but you'll see her. Like she's not behind any kind of screen or anything like that. You'll see her face, and it's like four of them, three of them. They're telling their story. They're all black women. They look a little racially ambiguous. So you would think that, oh, maybe they are something else, but they're black women. They're just fair skinned, you know, maybe have some, you know, Caucasian in their family or whatever. And then they talked about the reason they came out because they have light skin privilege. Nobody don't want to be real about that. But they were very candid and transparent about it. They said there were some women that he has done this to that can't come out because nobody's going to believe them because they're darker skin. These women, they actually look like white women, but they said we're black women. They make it known. They said we have light privilege, so people are more apt to hear us. They're more willing to at least listen to us, what we have to say, you know. And that's the God honest, that's truth. That's fact, as the young people say. That's big facts. So I'm glad they told their story. I'm glad they came out. I'm glad they exposed both him and L.A. Reid. And then it goes so far back. It's like people from way back in the Beastie Boy days knew that he was a predator, but all that we're talking about the '80s, the late 70s, 80s. So this man got an opportunity to just brutalize women for decades. And nobody stood up for women. Nobody stood up for black women. I'm sure he did it to Asian women, white women. I mean, the fact that he was his wife, Kimora Lee, was like 15, 16, and he was well into his 30s, you know, or at least late 20s when he was messing with her. And, you know, it's like, and then, bruh, she was a baby. 16 is still a baby. I don't care about no age of consent. I don't care about none of that. She was a child. This man was darn near 30 or in his 30s when he started pursuing her. That kind of stuff. Like, nobody stepped to him and be like, yo, she's a kid, man. I know she's like a world famous model when she's out here, but she's a kid, bro. You need to leave that alone. But it's like nobody said anything. Again, everybody wants to say, I know Russell Simmons rub arms with him and I want to get this money, but nobody stand like, no, I need real. And I'll say this throughout this podcast. I'm charging real men to stand up and protect women. When you see something foul going on in the office, going on in within the military ranks, going on in college, going on, I don't care where you see something foul going on, there are women, especially black women, I need you to say, you know what, I'm not going to be silent. I am going to do something. I'm going to defend her. I'm going to protect her, you know. And so watch that documentary. Come up with your own, not opinion, because to come up with your own opinion like they lying, it's to just dismiss them what they went through. And that's crazy. We're so quick to dismiss what black women go through. Like black women couldn't possibly be victims. Like black women couldn't possibly be raped. And that's because you're believing the foolishness that's put out there in media about black women being so sexually aggressive, being so explicit, you know, being so forward, being so immodest. Like that stuff is put out there. You do have some women of all races. You have some women of all races that are like that. But that label seems to be placed over the heads of black women, solely on the heads of black women, over the heads of black women. And it's not fair, nor is it accurate. You know, and so black women can absolutely be victims. And I talked about this in the documentary last year with R. Kelly, when people were saying, well, why these girls are so fast and, you know, and why they, you know, why they chasing behind R. Kelly and all of this. Where were their parents? And I said, the same place your parents were back in the 90s. You were a latchkey kid. If you come up in Generation X, you were a latchkey kid. Your mom, you was home. Your mom was at work. You were told not to let nobody in the house, but you was letting people in the house anyway. You were told not to go outside, and you was going outside anyway. You know what I'm saying? Their mom was doing the same thing your mom was doing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know how people got it. Black, especially black people. I'm talking to black people now. Especially black people that grew up in the 90s, 80s. I don't know why we got amnesia. How we get amnesia, I don't understand. We need to throw amnesia in the trash. Especially if you grew up in an urban community, a poor urban community. Stop it like you don't know what's going on. You don't know how possibly R. Kelly could have had access to all of those women. You know darn well that back in the 80s and 90s, we had no father was in the household. Especially if you grew up in, like I said, an urban, in the projects, or the housing authorities. We call it housing authorities in the South, projects in the North, and in the West. You know good and darn well, your mama was raising you by herself. You and all your siblings. You know what I'm saying? You know we didn't have any real structure. You know, we had enforcement, but we didn't have any real structure. We had a lot of freedom on our own. We kind of, I won't say raised ourselves, but we spent a lot of time by ourselves because our mom had to work, you know. So that left us free to be out there in the neighborhood and with dusty, rusty old men trying to pursue kids, little girls, and nobody checking them. You know, little girls can't walk to the store at 9 and 10 without some 40-year-old man saying, hey, psh, 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 catcalling her. She's like 10. You know, this happens in our community, and we need to stop acting like the old dude down the street ain't out here having sex with these little girls in the neighborhood. Stop saying that. Stop doing that. You know what I mean? Like, uncle is not molesting his nieces in our neighborhoods. Uncles are molesting. I don't know. I went off on a tangent. But you got uncles touching their nieces and nephews. You got big sisters touching their brothers and sisters. We got all this kind of stuff going on in the urban and rural black communities. And we need to stop trying to act like it doesn't happen. It happens every freaking day. You know? And so, but let me get back on track. Back to protecting black women. Now I'm going to talk about Megan Thee Stallion. And you all know what happened. You know, her and Tory Lorraine, Lawrence, however he says his last name. I call him Lil Smurf. They were, you know, in a car together coming from, I guess, Kylie Jenner's house. They were going somewhere. And then they got into an argument, a verbal argument. She got out the car. And then he allegedly shot her in the foot. And so, okay, so she protected him, didn't say what happened and all of this. So people been saying, oh, you lying. Ain't nobody, you know, that's a setup. Not a setup, but you lying. There ain't nothing happened to you. You know, you guys are fake, you know. And so she just came out and said, no, he shot me. He shot me. You know, and I didn't say nothing because the police are killing us. So I'm trying to protect him and myself. What am I saying that a gun is in the car for? So the cops can shoot us? If you didn't see her live, she went on live and just said, no, this fool shot me. You know, and so again, nobody protected this girl. Nobody protected her. The people attacked her. They said she was snitching. They said she was a liar. They said she trying to ruin his career. They came after her with claws out. And I'm no Megan Thee Stallion fan because I believe her music is destructive for black women, black girls. I believe her. I will stand by that 10 toes down. Her music, Nicki Minaj's music, Cardi B's music, City Girls' music, all that their music is destructive to black girls and women. And it sets us back like 400 years. Like I just not just their music, but Luke, Snoop, and all these other current day rappers that's a B, as a calling women a B in every word, a H in every word, talking about women's vagina in every line, every so-called bar, every modern day rap, every modern day male rapper too. Like their music is detrimental to black people, period. Yeah. Let me see. I'm sorry, get back on track. Megan Thee Stallion. And like people weren't protecting her. So you had a few people that came out, like Michael B. Jordan said something, which I don't really give much credence to what he said, because he doesn't even date or like black women. So I'm not even sure why he felt the need to make a comment. So I didn't really, again, I didn't give much credence to what he was saying. But Bun B, I think his name is Bun B out of Houston. He came out and he was like, Tory Lanez, you a sucker. You a coward for what you did. He was like, if that had happened in Houston, you would have got rolled on straight up. We don't play that, you know. And I loved he wasn't trying to take Tory's side. He straight up called him out. He protected her. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's what we need. We need, especially in this new civil rights movement that we're in the midst of in 2020, black people are in the midst of, we need men to stand up to, just because, you know, you got people randomly just doing violent stuff to black women. Black women can't even park without somebody pulling guns on them or walking through, like, violent things are happening to black women out here. You know, people just feel, white women and white males, they feel liberated to just harass and do things to black women, you know. And I just, yeah, like the video, I know you guys saw where they were at a restaurant. This black lady was at a restaurant with her kids, and I think it was a white couple next to them at the table, and then the wife and the black mom got into it, you know, and the white man just started punching the black woman, just straight up start fighting her like she was a dude. And then a black dude came out of nowhere and just beat that dude down. Like, you, this, no, you're not gonna do that. Beat him down. Like, this is, you gonna fight somebody, you're gonna fight another dude. You're not gonna fight this woman like that. And it's like, listen, I'm not on here trying to promote violence. If that's what you hear, get off the podcast, turn it off, and go listen to somebody else. I'm on here saying, listen, we need men. And it's a proximity thing, right? Like, if you, eight times out of 10, I'll say it that way. If you're a black female, you're around other black males. Whether you're at work, whether you're in the military, whether you're at school, whether wherever. I'll even say 7 times out of 10. So we need those 7 times out of 10, we need you to step up and to protect these us black women as we're going to the market, as we're going in restaurants, as we're at the airport, like I said, as we're in the military, as we're in school, if you see something foul going on, we need you to step up. I'm asking you, this is your big sister. And some of y'all men may be older than me, but I'm still your big sister. We need you to step up and take and be like, no, and defend these black women and girls that are going. And if you are in a position where there's a black man in power and you know he is brutalizing women, you need to check him. Check him and expose him. Like, no more silence. It's time out for silence. Time out for silence. Time out for greasing your pocket. Time out for looking like a duck on Instagram because you're taking pictures with a dude that's empowered. Brothers taking selfies with other brothers is just weird to me. Anyway, sidebar. That's some weird feminine stuff. Like, I can't get into that. That's, yeah. Anyway, that's some sucker stuff. Like, you see a celebrity, a dude see another celebrity, like, hey, can we get a picture? That's some sucker stuff right there. You a sucker in my book, period. But anyway, back to it. We need black men to stand up, step up, protect black women and girls. I saw a video. This was a couple of years ago, right here in Philadelphia. It was in the Northeast. The little black girl was walking to school, and this white dude groped her. And it was like businesses or whatever out there. And she turned around to say, hey, stop, to do that. Don't do that. And he was like, you're ready to punch her. And then she just ran off. So I don't know if anybody caught him, checked him, what that kind of stuff. You see that kind of stuff? If you see a little girl getting groped, touched by anybody, a black man, a white man, I don't care, whoever. I'm saying you need to grease him. and then hold him there, call the police, tell the police he fell. I don't know how he got bloody. He fell or something. I don't. But you need to protect little girl, little black little girls, man. Black women, black teenager, black female teenagers. You need to protect. I'm asking you to step up. To step up and, like I said, expose those that are in power. Expose them. Check them and expose them. And remember, we come from the same vine, bro. We come from the same vine. You know what I'm saying? We come from the same dirt. We come from the same people. We're both descendants of Ham. If you don't know that, you need to go to the book of Genesis. I don't know what chapter it is, but it talks about Noah's sons. And one of Noah's sons was named Ham. And that's where all black people came from. So you are, too, a descendant of Ham. You know, and so we come from the same. So you... I'm serious. Like, don't just turn the other cheek, or not turn the other cheek. Don't just turn away and like, oh, well, they ain't my business. No, get involved. I'm at, cause you know, especially with voting coming, it's gonna be, you don't know what can go down on election day. It's supposed to be white supremacists, supposed to be, you know, coming out to the polls and all this stuff. And we need y'all to the same way these men were packing on the 4th of July weekend when they were at Stone Mountain, Georgia. Did y'all see that video? Please find that video on Facebook. Supposedly, the Klan were supposed to be marching on Stone Mountain, Georgia on the 4th of July. But baby, they got scared and they stayed home because all the new Black Panthers marched. And it had to be about 50 to 100 of them mugs. And they had guns, like big guns. They had big guns, and they was, and the police didn't say nothing. Police didn't pull nobody over. Police ain't arrest not a one of them. I loved it. It was so beautiful, so strong. I loved it. So we need y'all to show up at the polls. Show up at the polls in your city, making sure nobody's being harassed, making sure people aren't being intimidated. All that stuff, brothers, black men. I'm asking you to show up. Not just on election day, but I'm asking you to show up every day of your life when you see some foul stuff going on to black women and girls and you teenagers. Stand up. Step up. All right? And like I always say, I'm going to end it right there. Like I always say, I want to see you in heaven. Y'all can finish it with me. Y'all done heard it so many times. What I always say, I want to see you in heaven with me. And I'm out.